Last Sunday, with the church throughout the world, we joined in the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, especially to the priesthood. In my bulletin letter last week, I wrote about the other great vocation for the building up of the communion of the church, holy matrimony. I took that topic last week because of a couple of very beautiful things going on here in the parish, as well as the publication of the Pope's recent apostolic exhortation on this topic. Today, I want to return to the topic of marriage, Christian marriage. I was away from the parish for a few days this past week. I took a little time to start reading that exhortation. Got about a third of the way through it. It was vacation after all. But in what I read, I encountered one very strong and striking statement. It's this: the church, in order to fully understand her mystery, looks to the Christian family, which manifests her in a real way. We often think of the family looking to the church for the grace of the sacraments, for the moral guidance of the faith, and many things. But here it's the opposite. The church should look to the Christian family if she really wants to understand who she, the church, is. So I thought it was a very striking statement. And then I was giving a little thought to the readings of today's Mass. And it suddenly occurred to me that the readings of today's Mass are a beautiful commentary on that sentence from Pope Francis. Three rather disparate readings we have today. Second one, from the book of Revelation, gives us a vision of heaven. Of course, this Easter season, it's all about heaven. We're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. One of the reasons we want to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is because his resurrection has opened to us life eternal, as we prayed in the opening prayer of the Mass today, that we might be prepared to enter into that gift. So we have a vision of heaven in the second reading today. And that reading describes heaven as a city. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now, there's something interesting about that description. Of course, it's a partial, imperfect description of heaven, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard. But what's interesting about that is that it shows us heaven as a communion, a city, where people are together for the mutual benefit of all. That's what a city is. There is something communal in that picture of heaven. That should not be a surprise to us as Catholics. We have been talking about the communion of the saints for about 2,000 years. But you know, our formerly Protestant American culture is very, very individualistic. That has produced some very good effects in the life of our country, and there are some less happy aspects of it as well, as usual with things of this world. But that individualism often comes into religion. And so when we think about salvation and heaven, we can very easily have a sort of tunnel vision that, oh, there is God who will be my judge, and here's me, and the whole question that the universe revolves around is my salvation. And those others who have been part of my life are kind of bit players. they're really only important to the degree to which they help or hinder my coming out okay in the end and passing muster. Sometimes in confession, I encourage penitents to pray for their accomplices in sin. Because as I tell people in the confessional, those other people aren't just incidental parts of the story of my life, which is, of course, the central one in the history of the universe, but are important in themselves, are loved by God, created by him for heaven, that he wants them to be with him as much as he wants me to be with him. So you must remember to pray for your accomplices in sin. But that individualistic idea, I'm just seeing God and me, the whole question is, will I measure up? It's not such a Christian idea, not such a Catholic idea. We might contrast it, too, with our other friends outside the household of the faith. You know, when Muslims sometimes kill themselves in committing some atrocity, I hear that they expect a paradise in which they are attended to by scores of beautiful young women. That's heaven for them, I suppose. But it's all about them. I'm not sure if it's heaven for the young women. Our Christian vision is that there is a communion that is good for all, in which we each have a place for the benefit of everyone. So, that's heaven. The church, the life of the church, is supposed to reflect the life of heaven. And this recent document says, the life of the family is a great place to see what the life of the church should be. Because in the family, just by the nature of the thing, you have that kind of communion in a certain perfection. That in family life, it is clear that the joy of the family is related to the good of each of the persons. They are together in a communion in which they have different places, different functions, if that isn't too mechanical. But it's for the good of all. If things aren't good between mom and dad, it's bad news for me, little Johnny. I cannot be indifferent to that, because it's the good of the whole, the good of the whole communion that is my good. It's not individualistic. Shouldn't be, at any rate. It's not, we're interested in our own good, but not in a brutal self-seeking way. We recognize that by contributing to the happiness of the whole household, I am contributing to my own happiness. And this is the vision of heaven as a city that is a place where we are all together in the communion of the saints for the good of us all. And the happiness of the other saints in heaven will be part of my happiness too, if, God willing, I am there someday. That to see those whom I have loved in this world also happy in the presence of God in the communion of the saints is part of my good in heaven. So, the family helps us with the second reading, that vision of heaven. In the gospel today, we have, of course, the Lord's characteristic commandment to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. And, of course, is that love that is the life of the family. It's meant to be the life of the church, too, but the family has a big, big head start. You know, when a couple comes to get married, they have been free in most cultures, thank God, they have been free to choose the person with whom they want to spend the rest of their lives. So it's we don't have quite such a happy situation in the larger church. You know, we're thrown together with people not entirely of our choosing. So in the family, there's a big head start toward being able to practice that love, because you got to choose that person who was your spouse. You saw something in that person that was wonderful to you, delightful to you, which made you happy, which you desired. And so the love between you is the heart of the family. And then when God gives the gift of children who are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, it's not hard to love them, even when they're very naughty. It's not hard to love the children who are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. So this is the place where, as God has designed our human race, it is most, we can most spontaneously experience that desire for the good of the other, that love for the other that creates the community, that is the basis of the church and a foretaste of heaven. One more thing about this document. The Pope is very eager to remind us that family life is not easy. It is not as if all this just happens without a trouble in the world. And in the first reading of the Mass today, that sentence is a commentary on this too, Paul and Barnabas are retracing their steps. They've made a missionary journey into the interior of modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. They've started at the center bottom, gone north, hung a right, and then they worked their way back through the same cities to leave, encouraging the people on the way out who have become converts, encouraging them to persevere in their new faith. And they say to them, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And so, likewise with family life, is never without challenges of many kinds. You know, it's very famously observed that whenever we love others, we open ourselves to pain, to sorrow. Because our children will make choices that get them into difficulties that break our hearts and 100 other things. If we didn't care about them, it'd be no skin off our nose. But because we love, we suffer. So family life is not easy. But in our vocations, whatever our own vocation is, for me it's the priesthood. For many of you it is or will be married life. That in our vocations, the difficulties that we encounter are meant to help transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We are meant to begin to see our own shortcomings that contribute to these problems. We are meant to want to purify ourselves, to make ourselves better for the sake of our loved ones. For the sake of a better communion of life. So this is the call to heaven. The call to every vocation, is any vocation, is the call to prepare oneself for heaven. So today it's a Sunday of Easter. So we are rejoicing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We're rejoicing in that because the Lord, in his resurrection, has opened to us the way to heaven. Today we're reminded that heaven is a communion, that the way to that communion is to heed the command of the Lord Jesus, that we love one another. Sometimes that is easy. Sometimes, as St. Paul reminds us, it's difficult. We ask the Lord to give us the grace to persevere in loving one another, especially in our own homes and families and our own vocations, that we might rejoice with him forever in the glory of eternity.